Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas.
Both on and off the field.
Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome
to Utopia.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Utopia Football Podcast in my holiday-adorned living room. I am Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Great to be with you. Getting you ready for the Titans and the Texans on Sunday at NRG Stadium. Back to the noon kickoffs. No primetime game this week. No more primetime games. Nationally televised games, week of Christmas, Chiefs and the Ravens, but no more primetime games. Unless they make the Super Bowl, that's a primetime game. So anyways, good to be with all of you. Appreciate you tuning into the podcast. Appreciate you downloading it. Quick reminder off the top that if you haven't already, if you're just finding us or if someone may have just shared the podcast with you, to hit the subscribe button and give us a rating and a review once you've had a chance to sample it and let us know what you think. But we do three of these a week. Now that we're back to a normal kickoff time schedule, we're back to three pods a week. So there will be a recap podcast of what hopefully is a win over the Titans. The Texans are 8-point favorites in that game on Sunday. Before we get into the six-pack and previewing the game between the Titans and the Texans, I guess just a few news items with the Texans. Injury-wise, it looks like we're going to get Will Anderson Jr. back this week. He practiced on Wednesday. The Texans are just now getting off of the practice field. As I'm recording this on Thursday, you're probably listening to this on Friday. Will Anderson practiced again today. So it's believed he's on track to get back to his starting role opposite Danielle Hunter at defensive end. So that'll be great having both of them back in the lineup at the same time. I feel for Will Levis. Actually, I don't feel for Will Levis at all. What am I saying? I feel sorry for Will. No, I don't feel sorry for Will Levis either. I feel nothing for Will Levis except for scorn and agitation from his stupid mayonnaise commercials. So Will Anderson, I say all that to say Will Anderson back in the lineup. Kamari Lazarus was a full go at practice on Wednesday, coming off of concussion protocol. That he's still listed on the injury report leads me to believe he's still in the protocol, but that he's a full participant would also lead me to believe that he is going to play on Sunday as well. So they are back defensively to practically full strength. Unless Danico Autry doesn't play, he was out from practice on Wednesday. I've yet to see a practice report for Thursday, but he was out with a couple different injuries. So we'll see. The main thing is they've got Will Anderson Jr. back. They've got nearly, they've got their full complement of linebackers that have actually played this year. Christian Harris, I'll talk about in a second because Nick Caserio gave us an update on that on my show today with me and on Payne and Pendergast with me and Seth Payne. We'll get to that. And then the secondary with Lassiter back is back at full go anyways. And that's the group that really needs all their starters in there is that secondary because they are really lacking in depth at the cornerback position. When you lose Kamari Lassiter earlier in the season to the broken shoulder that he had, the scapula break, and you give D'Angelo Ross 100% of the snaps, that's bad times. That's hard times, as Dusty Rhodes would say. And then you cut D'Angelo Ross, you bring in Kadar Holman, and then you lose Lassiter again to a concussion. And now Kadar Holman, who you literally pulled off the street, or maybe they may have signed him off of somebody's practice squad, whatever the case may be. He was not playing for an NFL team when they picked him up. He's now your starting corner without Lassiter. That's hot times. That's hot times, baby. All right. So good to have the defense back to full strength or near full strength. We had Nick Caserio on the Payne and Pendergast show today, this morning, Thursday, as I'm recording this. And it was a good conversation. A lot of the usual Nick stuff on there, just status of the team, how things are going. We talked a little bit about the interior of the offensive line. He's never going to throw any player under the bus, but he seemed to leave it very open to there still being some shuffling on the offensive line if necessary. They are not married to this five, is what it would appear. So there was that. The important updates news-wise, I would say, that came out of the interview, the one that most people really wanted an update on was Christian Harris. And Nick did not give a firm time frame for him coming back. He seemed to not imply. I mean, he basically said that he could be coming back sometime soon. So I don't know that we got any clarity other than there's a chance that Christian Harris could return. There have been reports already that he's expected back after the bye week. I did not get that vibe off of Nick that there's anything even remotely close to definite with Christian Harris. The one thing that seems gleanable from that answer is that whatever injury Christian Harris has suffered, it's taken a lot of twists and turns that they didn't expect. Seth compared it to the Kyle Tucker injury with Kyle Tucker's leg, and I think it's a good comparison. Seth and I were at the game when Kyle Tucker got hurt. We were sitting about 50 feet away from Kyle Tucker when he fouled that ball off of his leg. And at the time, he tried to go back in the game, and there was speculation for a while that he was going to be able to come back pretty soon. And next thing you knew, June turned into July. And he didn't come back, I think, until early September, if I'm not mistaken. That's kind of what this Christian Harris thing feels like. It was a shock that he wasn't there at the beginning of training camp. He practiced a little bit one day at training camp and then didn't practice again, went on IR. And we've not even seen him since. I literally, true story, did not have Christian Harris listed as one of my questions for Nick Caserio today because I totally forgot he was even on the football team. I'll thank texters texting into the show for reminding me, hey, ask about Christian Harris. So I will fully admit, like, Christian Harris is so far out of sight and out of mind for me right now. I don't even know at this stage what we can expect him to contribute, especially if he comes back after the bye week. You're talking about there's four more games. It's going to take him at least a couple games to shake off the rust. I don't know. I guess if he can shake off the rust, then he's a presumably very fresh version of what he was last year in the postseason. Then that can't hurt to have Christian Harris there. I'm confident in what the linebackers that are on the team right now have been doing or that are active and not injured are doing. I think Azeez Alshire has been awesome this year. I think Henry Toa Toa has been vastly improved. It looked like Devin White took some of Toa Toa's snaps in the Cowboys game. Whatever. I don't care which of them plays as long as whoever's in there plays well. And even the backups, Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen, have done a good job. So that was number one. I also asked Nick if C.J. Stroud is suffering from any injuries right now. He was on the injury report with a right hand last week. We know that some of his throws have looked off of late. And so injury would be a logical explanation possibly for that. Nick completely dismissed that, said much ado about nothing. He's fine. He's healthy, which I guess means he's just a little off without an injury, you know, which I'd almost rather he'd be suffering from some sort of minor injury to explain it. I guess you explain it by second year. He's been getting hit a lot. And he's had a lot of muddy pockets, and maybe that's had an effect on him physically or psychologically. I'm still all in on CJ Stroud. I think he's awesome. But it's been a struggle this year for him compared to what I think we thought he was going to be this season. A struggle with CJ Stroud is still better than a lot of other quarterbacks out there, but by his standards, by our standards, my standards for him, it's been a struggle at times this year, but still all in on CJ Stroud. So those are the big things that come out of the interview with Nick. He was very complimentary of Jalen Petrie, like over the top, to the point where I'm like, okay, that guy's getting a second contract with the team. Like, he was that gushing about Jalen Petrie when I asked about him. I asked him about Joe Mixon's workload, if he has any concerns about Mixon getting so many touches and nobody else getting any touches right now. And he didn't seem overly concerned, but he didn't completely dismiss it either. So hopefully we get a couple of these games, kind of like the Patriots game back in week 6, where you can just put Damian Pearson there for the third quarter and part of the fourth quarter and let him carry the ball 8 or 9 times. That would be good. These are two games coming up here that should lend itself to backups playing in the fourth quarter, we hope. So with that in mind, let's do the six pack for the Titans and the Texans. Again, Sunday, noon kick, Texans. Last I looked, an 8-point favorite in this game. This is the first meeting between these two teams this year. They'll play again in the final week of the season in week 18. They met twice last year. Of course, the Texans, they met twice within 3 weeks last year. The first game was in Nashville. That was the game where they wore the Oiler uniforms, but Case Keenum led the Texans to a last-minute field goal victory. Huge win last year for the Texans. That was in retrospect, that was a massive win. That was the game where Dalton Schultz may have saved the season with a big catch down the middle that set up a touchdown. And then 2 weeks later, the two teams played at NRG Stadium. The return of C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson played in that game as well, had a couple of sacks. They won that game, I believe 26-3 was the final score. So this is a Titans team that struggled to score in both games against the Texans last year. So let's start there with the six-pack.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Can number one, let Levis Levis. Let Will Levis do Levis things. The Titans have scored less than 21 points in 9 of their 10 games this year. Will Levis has started 7 of those 10 games, and he's had an interception in all but one of them. And in a few of the games, at least a couple of them, he's had multiple interceptions. And his interceptions aren't just normal garden variety overthrows or miscommunications. at least early in the year, his interceptions were backbreaking, numbskull, stupid shit. And to the point where he's actually got a sense of humor about it. He was asked what he's improved on earlier this week. He was asked what he'd improved on. And he said, well, I've stopped rolling the ball and throwing it underhand and chest passing, which is good. I suppose that's progress. But Will Levis is very mistake prone. He's very prone to taking big hits. I don't know how, I'm guessing that the Titans are going to continue with this experiment for at least another year, but who knows? If they wind up in a spot to get a quarterback that they like, they may take one and just punt on Will Levis after two seasons. I wouldn't be supremely confident that Levis is going to turn into the starting quarterback. They hoped he would when they drafted him with the 33rd overall pick. I just think he's too irresponsible with his body. There's a lot of similarities, actually, between Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. In some ways, Levis is sort of a poor man's Anthony Richardson in that he's got a strong arm, but probably not as strong as Richardson. He's inaccurate, like Richardson. He loves to run and throw his body around and doesn't do it very responsibly, like Anthony Richardson. And I guess the big difference would be Anthony Richardson's actually won a few games this year, whereas Will Levis is 2-8 on the season, or his team is 2-8 on the season. So let him do his thing, heat him up, and let the game come to you, Texans. This is the worst possible team for Will Levis to face right now. The Texans have turned the opposition over 17 times in the last six games. This is a bad, bad matchup for Will Levis, especially the way the Texans secondary is playing, very opportunistic, and the defense very hard hitting. So let Levis Levis. That's number one. Number two, and this kind of ties into it, but just getting Will Anderson Jr. back and watching him and Danielle Hunter do their thing, I'm so excited. You guys know how I felt about this before the season, that I put a third down, defensive third down for the Texans with Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter coming off the edge at or near the top of my Houston sports instances right now. Yordan Alvarez at bat is probably still number one. You do not miss a Yordan Alvarez at bat, but I do not miss a third down involving the Texans defense when both of these guys are healthy. Holy moly. They had five sacks against the Cowboys last week with no Will Anderson. They had no sacks in the Detroit game, but they did put fairly constant pressure on Jared Goff. Danielle Hunter leads the league in pressures right now. Will Anderson Jr. was the defensive player of the month in the AFC when he went out with his injury against the Jets a couple of weeks ago. Let's fucking go. Let's eat. Let's destroy Will Levis. Let's destroy Tony Pollard. Let's destroy all these mofos, man. So Texans defensive line, particularly the rush, is number two. Number three in the pregame six pack is contain Justin Simmons, or Jeffrey Simmons, I should say. Contain Jeff, or Justin Simmons is the safety that we all wanted from Denver. Jeffrey Simmons, contain him. I love this test that's coming up here for the Texans in the interior of their offensive line, and that we'll get a much better gauge in this game, I think, as to where they are with the changes they made than we did against Dallas last week. Dallas is just a wreck. They're a train wreck and a circus and a dumpster fire. But you can't let Jeffrey Simmons wreck the game. You know, there was a wreck the game guy on the Cowboys last week. His name was Micah Parsons. You held him to one tackle, no sacks. I think if you keep Jeffrey Simmons, if you hold him, I think the goal is no TFLs, minimal tackles, minimal disruption, minimal hits on CJ Stroud. They've got some guys on this defense. You know, Tavondre Sweat, the rookie, has done a good job for them this year. Harold Landry, the edge rusher, good player. So they've got some guys, and defensively, they've held the opposition to 3.7 yards per carry. This is a good run defense. So, and Joe Mixon's been really good. So this will be a strength on a strength, at least in the case. I don't know if the Texans' run game, like as a whole, is a strength. I think it's more Joe Mixon is a strength than the Texans' overall run game. If the overall run game was this good, Joe Mixon wouldn't be getting all the carries. You know what I mean? If they felt that just the holes are there universally for whoever you put in there running back, then Damian Pierce would be getting five or six carries. Dario Gumbawale would be getting a few carries, whatever. J.J. Taylor's back on the practice squad again. Nick mentioned him today as a potential body at running back. You got to keep Joe Mixon healthy, though. I mean, that's one thing, keeping Jeffrey Simmons off of him. Like, literally, don't get Joe Mixon hurt. That is a major drop-off. That's probably the biggest difference for the Texans and maybe the really, really good teams. One, the interior of the offensive line is still not proven it can protect consistently. And the Texans just have too many positions where the drop-off is from elite-level player to barely a street-level player. Cornerback is definitely one of them. You know, I would say running back, definitely one of them. I would say wide receiver, you know, that in between, you know, John Mechie has started to bridge the gap a little bit, but, you know, if you had told me Stephon Diggs was going to get lost to an ACL before the season, I would have said, all right, well, go Tank, go Nico. And I don't know what the hell after that. So that's all. And then the offensive line itself, I mean, some of the guys aren't even performing themselves at a street level right now. So I say all that to say contain Jeffrey Simmons. That's number three. Number four, this needs to be a get-right game for C.J. Stroud. He's been very up and down over the last month or month and a half. Not all his fault, but there have been some things. The interceptions, the inaccuracies, sometimes feeling a little rushed. These are all things I understand based on the amount of abuse that he's taken physically. But this is a bad team with an okay defense at home. And you've got, I'm assuming you're going to have Nico Collins for the full complement of snaps as opposed to last game where Nico played 30 snaps. You know, he played like half the snaps. CJ's got to get right. This is a real opportunity here against the Titans and the Jags to go into the bye week feeling good about how CJ Stroud is playing. So need to see a get right game out of CJ Stroud here at home, even more so than the Cowboys game, because that's a road game. You just got Nico back. He didn't play the whole game. Get right, CJ Stroud. Last can before the prediction. No big plays. No big plays allowed on defense is what I'm referring to. The only reason the Cowboys scored a touchdown was because Jeff Okuda gave up a 60-yard catch and run to Kevontae Turpin. Other than that, the Cowboys really struggled to string together drives. They missed a field goal. They went for it on fourth down a couple of times, whatever. I see the Titans in a very similar light. If you make them have to convert third downs, if you make them have to convert third and long, or you put them in second and long and they're having to waste it down just to make third and manageable, if you make them have to string together 8 to 10 plays just to get points, let alone touchdowns, I think you're in really good shape in this game. So don't allow any big chunk plays. The Titans themselves last week against the Vikings, their only touchdown they scored was a 98-yard bomb from Levis to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. So don't allow that. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of like that Colts game in week one. The only thing that kept the Colts in that game was just haymakers down the field that you allowed. Don't allow any big plays like big. I know you're going to allow the occasional 20 or 25 yard play. I'm talking about 60 yards. I'm talking about 98 yards. I'm talking about plays like that. Don't allow those plays. You'll win this game. If you don't allow plays like that and you protect the football, you'll win this game. You're just that much more talented than the Tennessee Titans are, and you have that being an advantage at quarterback. So no big plays on defense allowed. Got it? Good. Sixth can's always the prediction. 27-13 Texans is my prediction. Cover the spread, but the game goes under. I think it's a low-scoring game. I think it's a relative. I know 27's a decent chunk of points. Wouldn't surprise me if it was more like 21-13 or something like that, you know, something closer to what the spread is on the game. But I think this is going to be a game where both defensive lines have good afternoons, especially the Texans. So 27-13 is my prediction. That is your pregame six pack. Okay. Quick administrative reminder, subscribe to the podcast, hit that subscribe button. We always appreciate that. If you want to send an email, HOUmailbag@gmail.com, we do a mailbag back to Tuesdays on the mailbag. So we'll do a mailbag on Tuesday of next week. Preview episodes drop Friday morning. Recap episodes drop either late Sunday night or early Monday morning. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting the podcast out to each and every one of you. Is it too early to wish happy holidays to everybody? It's Thanksgiving a week from today or whatever. I'm going to do it. Happy holidays to all of you out there. I appreciate you downloading, sharing the podcast. Really, really appreciate it. So in the meantime, for Anthony Irwin, I am Sean Pendergast. We are out of time. We will see all of you on Sunday after the game for a victorious, we hope, Utopia Football Podcast. Take care, everybody.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.